This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. This is Rutherford Issues, hitting right at what matters most to all of us here in the heart of Tennessee. From Murfreesboro to Smyrna, Eagleville to Laverne, Leanna to Barfield, and everywhere in between. If it matters to you, you'll hear about it in the next hour here on Rutherford Issues. Now your host, Brian Barrett.
Well, hey, hi, and hello there, fun lovers and truth seekers. Welcome into the program. Good to have you along with us today here from the North Rutherford Y as we broadcast live from Smyrna. It is our Smyrna show, and things are getting back to a semblance of normalcy. However, Mike is still here, so I guess things can't be too normal, Mike.
Hey, Brian, glad to be here.
Did you like that intro? I always do you right with those intros.
Yeah, you really do, Brian. You really do. Thank you.
78 and sunny right now, and it looks like our forecast may be a shower possible this afternoon, a 50-50 shot tomorrow, and maybe some rain on Saturday. But temperatures are going to stay really, really warm, it looks like, through next week. We'll check on the forecast. A full look here in just a few moments. Mike, what brings us here to the North Rutherford Y, and what brings us here today in terms of our conversation?
Well, we have, you know, we hadn't had a chance to be here in a few weeks. We're at, Motlow College a few weeks ago.
And, well, we hoped it'd be then.
And then we did a show, I guess, back at the station, or couldn't get away. But I've got Rolling Thunder here today, and Jay Barnes with Rolling Thunder, and Dewey Hunter, an old high school classmate. And going to talk about some of the good things they do here in the community, some of their escorts with the some of the funerals and other things that they're involved in. And just glad to have these guys with us today.
We're going to jump into that conversation here in just a few minutes. And you brought some type of dissertation that you've been working on.
Right? Well, okay. What a great lead-in, Brian.
Well, you've got all kinds of information here, and you
notes.
Keep showing it to me.
Yeah.
This is something that you've written, apparently.
No, I didn't write that.
Okay.
It sounds like something I'd write, though. But what I was just going to say, thank you to Campus School for the invite. I went and spoke there this morning. Daily News Journal's Nancy DeGennaro and asked me to speak, and to Mr. Lockett's class. But the students over there, they were great, little second graders, and they're all dressed up as Davy Crockett, or I was calling one of them Sam Davis, and the other one DeWitt Smith Job. And it was just a good time. And they done the Tennessee Waltz, you know, the little the dance. Do you know the Tennessee Waltz?
Yes.
Do you really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. Okay. It was great, but it was good to see them kids. And
is it the second grade?
The second graders. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they had, you know, said just to share any Tennessee history story. And I just finished a Tennessee history class. And I shared the story of Sampson Keeble. And if any of your listeners, very few of them probably know the story of Sampson Keeble. And if they know the story of Sampson Keeble, they need to feel honored, because not many people know it, unfortunately. But Sampson Keeble was the first African-American state legislator in the state of Tennessee, and he came out of North Rutherford County. He was a Republican and a former Confederate soldier. You know, I'm kind of surprised this stuff's not in our history books, but he served in the General Assembly just one term, unfortunately, 1873 to 1874. It was the 38th General Assembly he served in, and he sounded like a very working man legislator, I guess you could say. He was a barber, a businessman, civic leader, and I know he served on the Military Affairs Committee and Immigration Committee. But one thing I had read about the story, I don't know if it's in these notes right here, but he must have been a pretty strong, convicted guy, because and he frugal as a businessman. And back then, you know, for an African-American right after the Civil War to be as wealthy as he was is a pretty extraordinary story. But they said he was haggling a merchant over something at a store he was trying to purchase, and they got into it, and the merchant hit him in the head with a cane and gashed his head open, and they thought he wasn't going to survive. And they said after lingering weeks, he ended up surviving. But the story of Sampson Keeble, I think it's extraordinary. He's also, Vanessa Williams, the actress, is kin to him. I think they, you know, done the lineage, they have a bust of him up there at the Capitol, ironically right next to Jennifer General Nathan Bedford Forrest, just 20 feet away. But extraordinary story of Sampson Keeble. Just want to thank the campus school for the invite today.
So he fought for the Confederates in the war.
He probably, what I've read, he probably didn't, you know, he probably wasn't on the front lines, you know, shooting. They think he was a cook or something. But it's extraordinary, you know, to be a Confederate soldier. And you think about what, you know, oftentimes we're in the minority on our positions, you know. I mean, whatever you're, you know, trying to advocate for. Think about the minority position this guy was in. I mean, to be a Republican, African-American, Confederate soldier, you know, in his time. I mean, I couldn't imagine. But he had three good pieces of legislation. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to get them passed. But he went on to be a successful business owner and county magistrate. So he was elected in Davidson County. So I thought it was pretty extraordinary. But if anyone's interested in just research Sampson Keeble, K-E-E-B-L-E, and to read more about it.
Second grade must be the grade where kids do a lot of Tennessee history, because I mm-hmm. remember my daughter and my son both performed in these plays where they went to school. Yeah. They did a Tennessee play, and they would research the history of Tennessee. And so that must be an important time for Tennessee history within the school system.
Yeah, it was pretty extraordinary. They had two classes there, and looked like roughly 40 students. And they had them all as groups kind of like read almost like a poem, starting from the early days of county, the state history, like Davy Crockett on up to even Al Gore Jr. And they kind of almost like a song. And I thought, how in the world these young people learn these lines like that? It was pretty neat.
Well, I mean, with kids learn in many different ways, and song is one of those. And,
yeah.
You know, my kids, I've got a son that'll be in eighth grade next year, and he can still remember the lines to those songs. So they remember that part of Tennessee history. Yeah. So at least they're grasping it.
Well, I was going to share the story of Dwight Smith Job, and you know that story.
Right.
That's pretty. It's a little intense for second graders. So I didn't go with that, even though that's another extraordinary story that we have here in Rutherford County. Unfortunately, that's another one that's just not. You just don't hear about it.
When you say don't hear about it, I mean, history books can be full of so many different things. Everybody really has a story.
Yeah.
But how do you display that? How is it out in the public? And I think that's the question going into the future we're going to have to ask. I mean, where do we have a county history building or something?
You know, ironically, when I took a poll real quick and I asked the audience, which was parents and grandparents and teachers, and I said, how many of y'all know the story of Sampson Keeble? Only one gentleman raised his hand. And ironically, I got his name after. He's it's Professor Brendan Martin of MTSU Department of History. He knew the story. And I said, how did you know that story? He said he knew it from the Oaklands, because there's something up there about African-American history. You know, as you remember, we had John DeBerry, representative out of Memphis, and Susan Camper out of Memphis. And we talked about a segment on Black History Month back 2 years ago. In February, 2 years ago, and Jonathan Fagan helped cover it, and it went really good. You know, went really good. But you know, those stories, to me, I would think this would be in the history books. You ask yourself. I mean, I just finished Tennessee College history class, and there's no mention of the first Black legislator in the state of Tennessee. Ought to be in there.
Well, there's so much math and all these different teaching to test. There's not enough time to put it in the history books.
Well, I still think the first Black African-American, you know, should be in the history book. I think it's because he was Republican. I think it's because he's a Confederate soldier, to be honest with you.
Really?
That's what I think. I mean, I'm just saying what I feel. I think that's why it's not in there. Now, somebody can welcome to correct me off there if they want to, but I think that's why it's not in there, you know.
Well, that's your... I really think that there's... Are you saying that this should be something that's in the history
book? I think it should be in the history book. I think it ought to be in school. You know? I think DeWitt Smith-Job's story ought to be in school.
Well, I think we're going to have to carve out a little more time.
Well, we just got to find a way to do it, Brian.
To discuss that part of it, I can tell you from personal experience, from seeing my kids this year, that it was probably the most challenging year for my fourth grade daughter and my seventh grade son.
Yeah.
The standards and the testing that they have to go through, it's
it is, Brian. That's
it is. It's so unfortunate, I think. I think we've lost the aspect of, you know, kids being kids and learning things like.
Well, this is something. This is something, though, that's a truly successful story. Here's a guy who went through hardship. His parents were slaves. I mean, we think we got it rough. I mean, think about it. If your parents were slaves, what are you going to be? You're going to think, okay, well, that's what I'm going to be. That's my mentality. And this guy overcame all those obstacles and overcame discrimination. He was still facing it. Obviously, he was facing it in the South like that, right after the Civil War, to be a successful businessman like that and to turn that whole. To lead that effort ought to be taught in schools. It ought to be, we hear all these stories about all these other people, but they're not here from Rutherford County. That's something that should be, we should hear about that. Not just from Rutherford County schools, we should hear about it in tennis.
Science, math, reading, that's what is crammed down the throats of our kids now, because that's what's on that TCAP test.
Yeah.
And we all know that. And they get maybe a month to do things. Why do you think this Tennessee history is at the end of the year? It's not on the test. That's when they study it.
Yeah.
And that's when it's not, you know.
I'm sure we'll get some phone calls.
Well, I mean, that's just my observation. Yeah. And I've got kids within the school system now. And you know, a couple hours of math homework every day on a fourth grader. But that's what it takes to learn what's on the test.
Yeah.
So, anyway, 17 minutes after 10, let's take a quick break here, and we're going to jump back into some conversation. We'll let Mike cool down here a little bit. Combustion thing going on here.
I'm not angry. I'm just saying it ought to be taught in schools. That's all.
There are a lot of things that should be taught in schools. Maybe we'll talk about that when we come back. Let's jot down during the break here some things.
Some ideas. Okay.
All right. We'll be right back.
Aloha, this is Omni Hut.
Polly Walls, what sets Omni Hut apart from other restaurants?
Consistency, service, atmosphere. We've been fortunate with a staff that's stayed in place. So you get to know your customers, and we're feeding third, fourth, fifth generation in some families now.
Catch the Aloha spirit at the Omni Hut.
Locally owned and operated since 1960. Come see us at 618 South Lowry Street, just inside Smyrna, near Nissan.
What you got there?
Looks like a rooster, a rose, and a frog.
Frogs? I hate frogs.
Hang on. Two frogs. Three frogs.
What is that?
New instant ticket game from the Tennessee Lottery called Lotteria.
What's with all the frogs?
If I get four in a row, I win.
You win a frog?
No, I could win up to $20,000.
Come on, frog!
I thought you didn't like frogs.
I like $20,000 frogs.
Lotteria, hot streak, big wallet, win, win, win. New instant games that can make you rich, rich, rich. The Tennessee Lottery, game-changing fun.
Phew, I am so glad that April 15th has come and gone.
Taxes?
Yeah, but have you heard about the new game from the Tennessee Lottery?
No, what?
Hot Lotto. Jackpot started $1 million, and they pay the withholding tax.
No way. Withholding taxes are paid?
Paid.
Oh, how about that tax, man?
Paid in full, Uncle Sam.
Chew on that with your wooden teeth, George Washington.
What?
I'm sorry, that one kind of got away from me.
Play new Hot Lotto from the Tennessee Lottery. Jackpot started a cool million, and withholding taxes are paid. The Tennessee Lottery, game-changing fun.
Slick Pig Barbecue. Down on East Main, there's pork, beef, chicken, and wings. Sauce too good to be true.
Now at Slick Pig Barbecue, try the catfish special. Wednesday night between 4 and 8 o'clock. $9.99 plus tax for all you can eat catfish. The meal includes hush puppies, white beans, and homemade coleslaw.
Slick Pig Barbecue, 1920 East Main.
Southern Community Bank, unlike all the rest. Beverly Barker, branch manager.
Southern Community Bank is a strong, independent community partner with a simple philosophy. Keep banking hassle-free for people who just want to be treated well.
We're unlike all the rest. Our services are intuitive. Our team is friendly. Our approach is refreshing. And our service is clearly unique.
We're located at 1950 Old Fort Parkway, next to the DoubleTree Hotel.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Play it again, sports! your baseball and softball headquarters.
Whether it's bats, gloves, pants, or training aids, we've got a great selection to get you on the diamond this summer. Name brands like Easton, Louisville, Slugger, and Worth, but at Played Against Sports Prices, we're on Thompson Lane.
WeatherEye.
We do have a chance for showers and thunderstorms for the forecast area today. Cloud cover, high of 82. Southwest winds around 5 miles per hour. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Faluber.
Right now, 79.
Sunshine Nutrition Center is your full-range health food store. We offer supplements, grocery items, pet food, fresh produce, juice bar, and a deli. Come visit us at Sunshine Nutrition Center for all your healthy needs in Murfreesboro and in Smyrna.
That's Kim Hilsman.
We're WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, and AM 1450. Worldwide at WGNSradio.com. Rutherford Issues on the Good Neighbor Network. Rutherford County's place to talk. We're WGNS, FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450 and TV 11.
Welcome back in. We're going to get to Mike Huckabee here at about 10:30, so we've got 8 minutes or so left. And Mike, I don't know, as we were going to break, we said we'll talk about things, subjects that need to be in school.
Yeah.
Do you think kids know Tennessee history today? I remember in eighth grade, okay, and that my eighth grade year, Miss Baird out at Walter Hill, Dot Baird out at Walter Hill Elementary, I learned Tennessee history. And I actually have an old Tennessee history textbook that we used in schools. And we had a whole, you know, second semester. One semester was like geography or something like that, and the second was Tennessee
history.
Well,
ours was fourth grade. If I'm not mistaken, dude, it was fourth grade. We went to had the field trip going to the Capitol. Did you go to the Capitol?
Yeah.
You know, we done that, and it was really, you know, enlightening. You know, it was a good experience.
Do you think your interest in Tennessee history now comes from you being deeply integrated into the process of state lawmaking?
No, I've always been interested in history, whether it's Sam Davis or anything, the battlefield. I mean, I'd say most people that grew up here is interested. I know Dewey's sitting right here to my left, and I know he's interested in DeWitt Smith Job's story because he grew up right near where DeWitt Smith Job grew up.
On Rocky Fork Road.
Yeah, you could probably hit a golf ball over there to where he's buried at. But there's so much history here in Rutherford County that we don't even realize. You know, and the economic impact from history is enormous to this state and the job creation, and that's something that the chamber has capitalized on, and I think the state's done a great job with that. But I think these other stories should be at the forefront.
Where do we display? How do we get the information out about those stories, do you think?
You know, I tell you, one thing that we kind of hope, and this is what you and I have talked about, is hopefully you know, we've tried to get this out to people that's in the film industry and so forth. Al Anderson's one of them that went to school with us. Al's been on the radio with us at Sam Davis' home. And I've also called the Film Commission in Nashville about how you get this story out to where someone would, you know, whether it's an independent filmmaker or some MTSU students or someone out of Hollywood that would make a movie about. The DeWitt Smith Job story is very intriguing, you know. The come to find out there was a gentleman that wrote a book, three cousins from Mechanicsville, and that area was called Mechanicsville at one time. But you know, when DeWitt Smith Job's brother or cousin got word of him being tortured to death like he was, you know, D. Smith went AWOL out of the Confederate Army, and you know, it's reported that he killed 50 Union troops with his bare hands. I mean, and that, you know, that sounds kind of far fetched, but in another account I read 15. But, you know, those stories to me are just, I mean, that's just so interesting. It's not a fictional movie. It's something that really happened. But unfortunately, people lived down the road and didn't even know it. Just 2 weeks ago, the governor was in it at Stewart's Creek Middle School, right there off Morton. And Humphrey, that covers Humphrey on the Hill, Tom Humphrey was there. And he took that story that the DNJ had posted about DeWitt Smith Job, and he ran a nice article, you know, and everybody around state politics sees what he wrote, you know. And I was telling him, I know he's a Civil War buff, a history buff, and I said, you know, he's buried just right down the road over here. I said, when you leave out of here, go down Morton Road, look to the right, look for that wooden sentinel, you know, and up on that hill is where DeWitt Smith Job is buried at. A lot of people don't know that.
But back to my point, is it best for there to be a public place for this type of information? Do we have, you know, would it be nice to have some type of Rutherford County historical? I know that we have a historical society, but some type of museum is, you know, or what?
Well, the battlefield's got many improvements if folks hadn't been through there, which was just awesome. That new front, that front's Thompson Lane, the cannons they've got out there, that's just brilliant for marketing. The chamber, you know, had a lot to do with that. I think Channel 19, Channel 3, the local channels in Murfreesboro can maybe put some more out there that and cover some of these things that people really may not be aware of.
What about public television? Do you think that might be a start for, you know, like NPT?
Yeah,
do the, you know, the
a segment
people
on,
story?
Yeah,
or,
it
or
would.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all that just, it all takes time, you know, and I try to do what I can to get, you know, things that I'm passionate about out there. My assistant, I think she gets, she's listening, Lori Bernard, my assistant, helps me put all this together. I know she gets a little frustrated, but because we got a lot going on, you know, and you rely on a good assistant like mine to help get this out, you know.
I could see where, you know, some of her frustrations may lie.
Yeah. You know, but you got to have good people back to help you, you know what I mean?
You know, just kind of, it's like trying to find a tadpole in the pool darting, you know, from one side to the other, isn't it?
Just, you know, we just have so much to be thankful for here and you know, in Rutherford County. But, you know, we've had Susan Whitaker, Tennessee Commissioner of Tourism, on with us when we done the show at the Hermitage Hotel. Mm-hmm. You know, that was probably one of the best shows we ever done up there with Fred Walther, who wrote the book on Minnesota Fats, the movie The Hustler is kind of based on, and he lived up there at the Hermitage. But that was a good show. We need to try to get her back up here with us.
We'll try to do that. We are going to talk some Rolling Thunder here in the second half hour, for sure. And we've got Jay and Dewey here with us. And Mike, just kind of set this up here in the minute that we've got before we get to the Huckabee Report quickly.
Okay, well, I know these guys are really involved. And one area that they impressed me was with when my friend Freddie Hahn got killed in Iraq. I remember them doing the escort, and I remember the protesters, you know, the Westboro, you know, church coming out protesting, and the Smyrna police handled that situation really good. But I've always had a lot of respect for these guys, and I know many of them were out at the 840 ribbon cutting with the governor a few months ago. And if anybody hadn't been out the new 840, it's just awesome out there. It sadly it took 26 years to get it done, you know. But we won't go into that story. But I just have a lot of respect for these guys and what they do and what they represent.
They're not only friends, but you know Rolling Thunder in terms of being at different events.
Oh yeah, I see them all, and especially any of the you know, some of the soldiers that have lost their lives over there. I've seen the involvement that they have. You know, I know General Hastings really appreciated what y'all do.
Well, very good. We'll jump into that conversation here in just a few moments. And right before the Huckabee Report here, let me remind you, we've got 78 degrees, sunny skies, a full check of the weather forecast is coming up, and no sports on the radio this evening. The Braves are off, and high schools are off until tomorrow. We'll be on the air tomorrow evening for State Farm Prep Baseball as Riverdale tries to make it back-to-back trips to the state tournament. They will take on the Ootawah Owls, and that will be coming up on the radio for you tomorrow. And also, it's the Riverdale softball team will travel to Coffee County. Smyrna will host Soddy Daisy in softball as they try to get to the state tournament. And Central Magnet going to Sequoia down in Dayton, Tennessee. The winners move on to the state tournament, the Spring Fling, which is next week. Should be a lot of fun. Our news time right now is 10:30 from the North Rutherford Y. It's time to check in on Mike Huckabee for the Huckabee Report.
FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, your ABC radio station. Now, the Huckabee Report. News and views from Mr. Conservative Mike Huckabee.
Want to get away?
Great time for fishing here in Middle Tennessee. This is Randy of Murfreesboro Outdoors, inviting all of y'all to come by and pick up your supplies. We've got rods and reels and line, artificial baits to get you going.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street.
Like you're going to Smyrna, we're half a mile from Thompson Lane on the right.
This is the Huckabee Report for Thursday. Scandal and distraction is the Washington cycle of life.
Details next. Police called and broke the bad news to Charles. His personal and financial information was found on an identity thief's computer disk. Nervous and confused, Charles called LifeLock, the industry leader in identity theft protection. LifeLock went into action uncovering multiple fraudulent credit applications the identity thief was trying to open in his name. LifeLock shut him down and helped him restore his good name and credit. Charles found out the hard way that identity theft is a global crime, a crime that's become so complex you just can't fight it alone. Stories like this remind me why I chose to protect myself and my family with LifeLock Ultimate. Don't wait for a call from the police before you take action. Do what I did. Arm yourself with LifeLock Ultimate. Visit LifeLock.com/Huckabee for details and my special 10% discount. Or call and mention Huckabee to get my special 10% discount. Call 1-800-240-LOCK, 1-800-240-LOCK, 1-800-240-LOCK.
Network does not cover all transactions and scope may vary.
Americans' number one concern is the economy. Democrats promised to fix that, but instead they focused on Obamacare, same-sex marriage, gun control, immigration, making up cover stories for Benghazi, and allegedly harassing conservatives and spying on reporters. Republicans are too busy investigating the Democrats to push their economic ideas. But while all this was going on, funny thing happened. The deficit fell. The CBO projects that it's going to drop to $642 billion this year. That's from over $1 trillion last year, mainly due to higher taxes, a slowly improving economy, and gridlock stopping any more attempts to stimulate it. So will this encourage our leaders to work together to eliminate the deficit? No. The Wall Street Journal reports that it's removed the urgency and killed deficit reduction efforts. And this is the Huckabee Report.
Catch Mike Huckabee's views on the day's news here on Rutherford County's Place to Talk. WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, and AM 1450. Your ABC radio station. Next, it's the Better Business Focus with Terry Page.
Mid-10 Siding is the one to call for professional siding installation, replacement windows, gutters, and shutters. 594-8695. Let us show you how our quality vinyl and fiber cement siding can add beauty to your home and lower your energy bills with replacement windows. Mid-10 Siding is accredited with the Better Business Bureau and Rutherford County Home Builders Association. Call Marty Bedsall at 594-8695. Mid-10 Siding, 594-8695.
Being an ethical business is the same as being an ethical person. Do the right thing. The same moral code of values and principles we base our decisions on should be the same used in business. Customers and businesses will always thrive in a marketplace that's based on honesty and trust. BBB members make a pledge to do the right thing. This is Terry Page with your local Better Business Bureau.
Smyrna Ready Mix Concrete, 223-9500. The best quality cement and stone products for your driveway, patio, or any concrete project. We'll get it to your job on time. Your successful concrete project starts with Smyrna Ready Mix Concrete.
We're looking for the right insurance company for our auto, home, and life.
We went with Claiborne and Taylor. They've been around for years. Claiborne and Taylor. They used to be Farmer Brothers Insurance and Murfreesboro Insurance Agency. They're one of Murfreesboro's largest locally owned independent agencies.
I'm Doran Claiborne.
And I'm Gary Taylor.
Farmer Brothers Insurance and Murfreesboro Insurance Agency are now Claiborne and Taylor Insurance. Our office is at 319 West McKnight Drive, just off Memorial Boulevard behind Tire World.
You can depend on Claiborne and Taylor.
Rutherford Issues.
Rutherford Issues.
Nobody covers Rutherford County better than WGNS.
WGNS.
FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and TV 11.
We continue Rutherford Issues from the North Rutherford Y. Glad you're along with us today. Brian Barrett, State Representative Mike Sparks, and some friends from Rolling Thunder. Mike, I don't see you as kind of the, you know,
hiker,
chains and leather kind of guy.
A rebel.
Well, no. No, you don't say that, because I think we'd have to say yes to that. But yeah, the chains and leather and kind of thing, you know.
You know, the irony is those are usually the nicest guys.
Oh,
don't,
yeah.
Don't you know have to be a certain height, though,
to ride a bike? Because that's 250 pounds.
Well, see, that's why I don't picture you. I guess you're.
I started riding when I was five. Now,
did you really?
I mean, I can ride a bike. I can ride a bike. The last time I broke my arm doing wheelies, and I tell you, when I broke my arm, it slowed me down. I didn't want to get crazy anymore.
Have you seen? I've seen these guys doing this too, but riding these what do they call them? Crotch rockets or something like that. It's, you know, 100 miles an hour down the interstate or doing wheelies down the interstate. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm gonna do that like that. Get a Harley.
I wouldn't either. That's not the kind of bike riding we're talking about here.
It's crazy.
Ride slow and enjoy the scenery.
That's right.
We were just talking off air about Harleys and having to work on them all the time. And Jay said he thought the same thing. He said all that's changed. Is that right, Jay?
It really has. I mean, and I always rode Hondas. I kind of took a page from my dad's book. He always rode Hondas.
Yeah.
I never had any interest in riding a Harley or owning a Harley. I just thought they were overpriced, you know, for what they were, until I rode one.
Yeah.
And I rode a Softail Deluxe down the Pacific Coast Highway with my sister. She was riding her V-Rod. I was on that Deluxe. And it's just so much better. It was a better ride. It was a lot better ride, I thought. And when I got back from, she lived in Oregon. When I got back here after that, I sold my Honda that I had. I sold it to my dad.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Sold it to my dad and went over to Cool Springs Honda and bought a Road King.
Oh. Dewey, what about you?
I stay with the Harleys. I've never been able to get away from them. American Iron.
Mm-hmm. None of your do your import bike owners that's in y'all's group, they get discriminated against?
No,
they don't. You know, I tell the first bike I owned, I kind of came late to riding a bike. I took this motorcycle safety class back in 2003. And the first bike I ever bought was 2004. It was a 750 Shadow, and I lived in North Carolina, and I came out here to go to work at Vanderbilt. And I met some guys there. They were going to go to Biketoberfest in Daytona, and they invited me to ride with them.
Mm.
So I met them over at Boswell's over there on Fessler's Lane. I'm on my 750 Shadow, and there's about five Ultra Classics come rolling in, and that's who I rode to Florida with.
Oh.
And none of them gave me a hard time about riding a Honda. They gave me a hard time because I had a 3-gallon gas tank.
Oh,
you know, they, so like every 100 miles, I'm switching to the reserve tank, and they're having to find a gas station somewhere.
Golly.
But I've upgraded recent. Last year, I bought a 2012 Ultra Classic Limited.
Yeah.
So now I hit the interstate in 200 miles. You know, stop and get gas.
I've always wondered this. I've never ridden the motorcycle just because it's the fear of the open, and it's not necessarily just that. I fear people like, you know, Mike Sparks and his big car on the other side, you know. Do motorcyclists get more respect on the roadways now?
No.
I didn't think so.
No, and it's a big, I mean, the Motorcycle Safety Foundation, and even working with the state, you see the signs over the interstate. Yeah. They talk about look twice, save a life,
right.
Watch out for motorcycles. And it's good advice for anybody. I mean, not even just looking for motorcycles, but just looking in general. I'm glad
TDOT does that and brings awareness to that. I knew that we had a record number of deaths last year, but ridership has also increased with fuel, you know.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing here lately is that bikes aren't really selling, is what a buddy of mine that's a dealer said, that, you know, sales just aren't really up there right now.
What?
I don't know if it's because of fuel kind of coming down a little bit or what.
Are people getting satisfied that it's not going to go down anymore?
Yeah, maybe. They could get used to it.
You know, who would think that we would celebrate the fact that gas was under 310?
Yeah.
I know.
You
know?
Somebody had on the internet $2.99 of the day. Wayne Blair's son, Zach Blair, had on Facebook, it was $2.98 or $2.99. I don't know where he got gas at, but it wasn't around here, I don't think. I hadn't seen it.
Let me ask you this question, because this is, I don't know if it's been on this show. I know it's been on the station that we have talked about it. Helmet use.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Should it be required?
With the drivers you have now, it needs to be.
Yeah. Well, I think,
from a motorcyclist perspective, from someone who rides motorcycles,
you're in
should
town.
It be?
Yeah.
From somebody that rides and somebody that's been in a major accident.
How you think you got that 2012?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I told my boss at work, I was like, somebody else is paying for it. I'm getting the top of the line.
Wow.
So, and I'm a paramedic. I've worked in the emergency medical field for 25 plus years.
So you bring an interesting perspective. Should we, just like, you know, I saw a commercial the other day, how the state's cracking down on, you know, not booze it and lose it as much. They're still doing
click
that,
but
it's click it or ticket, you know, if you don't have that seatbelt on. So,
and I joined, as soon as I graduated high school, I joined the Air National Guard, the unit at the Memphis airport. And back then, in the mid-80s, the military was starting a program where they required seatbelt use on the base. And then while I was on active duty in the Navy, they changed that to where they required seatbelt use all the time. That if you were involved in a wreck and they could prove that you weren't wearing your seatbelt, the Navy wasn't going to pay your medical bills. You'd be responsible for your own medical bills. So it's never been a problem for me. It's never been an issue for me about putting my seatbelt on when I've always worn one.
Should that be legislated?
Personally, I don't think so.
And neither helmet. And helmets.
No.
No?
Would I wear one? Of course I would wear one. Do I think it's a smart thing to wear one? Yes, I do think it's a smart thing to wear one. Do I think the government needs to be mandating that? No. And I'll catch a lot of flack from this from people I work with. The first time... Well, I moved out here in 2004, so the first time after that the issue came up at the state legislature that they were trying to repeal the helmet law, all the people I work with, and I worked in the emergency room at the time, you know, and they were like, well, we got to sign this petition and, we come out in favor of the mandatory helmet law, and I told them I'm not going to sign it. I will come out in favor of helmet use. I'm not going to come out in favor of government telling me I have to do that.
So you don't think the government should tell you you have to put your seatbelt on?
No.
Should the government tell you that you have to drive 55? Where do we draw the line?
Well, you know, and that's a good... And that was the point I brought up with our trauma coordinator at the hospital at the time. She was saying, helmet use... If you don't wear a helmet and you're involved in a wreck, you know, you're going to get this traumatic brain injury, and it's going to cause, if they repeal the helmet law, we'll see an increase in the number of deaths. And I said, well, where do you draw the line? I mean, you know, there's any number of thousands, tens of thousands of people that die every year from cardiovascular disease. And a big part that factors into that is their diet. You know, are you going to tell people, are you going to outlaw Big Macs? Are you going to outlaw fast food? And she said, well, there's some logic behind that argument. Yeah. I said, no.
So. You know, when we had hearings on that, AAA, I was surprised that they took a position. You'd think, okay, AAA's motor safety and so forth. But as far as I know, if they don't have AAA for motorcycles.
Well, there is
you got it for cars, but if you have a flat tire, they're going to come fix that tire on that Harley.
There are different... the American Motorcycle Association. There's different organizations that are on par with AAA that they will come.
See, I could see them taking a position, but not AAA. But I thought it was kind of ironic, and I thought it should be your decision. But I thought they should. We had a bill. I say we. The sponsor had a bill, and what it was requiring that you had your medical insurance. You had to have the medical insurance. You had to have a special. Exemption, on there where it covered your medical costs, where the taxpayers wasn't going to foot the bill. If you didn't have a helmet on, you got hurt. But I remembered it was a physician that brought it up, and he skydived. And I asked him, I said, do you wear a helmet when you skydive? He said, well, yes. Like, oh, yeah, I wear a helmet. I said, well, does the government tell you? He says, well, no, I just thought it was ironic. Okay, you're gonna wear a helmet, you skydive. I mean, the helmet's probably not going to do you much good when you hit that ground.
No.
You know? But it was you see some irony up there, but it didn't pass. I think the sponsor's working on it again next year. But CMT and Bait, that y'all are well familiar with,
they won't let you go jump out of that plane though without the helmet.
Oh, that I guess that's just the school that's
exactly.
requiring that.
Exactly.
You make a good point about that. I wear my seatbelt, but you know it's a big issue for a lot of folks though.
And it's never been an issue for me, you know, with the seatbelt. And I don't get in a twist about wearing my helmet. You know,
see, that surprised me because I had with Rolling Thunder and other motorcycles that I talked to. A lot of them are going to wear their helmet. Like Meeks, it's with your group. He was at the 840 ribbon cutting right there, and that was one of the questions I posed to him. And he says, "No, I'm going to wear my helmet." He said, "Well, if you don't wear your helmet, that's your choice."
Yeah. You know? Well, and I've been in several states that don't have helmet laws: Ohio, Kentucky,
Florida. I think they repealed theirs, didn't they?
As far as I know, they've never had a
helmet. Oh, they haven't? Okay.
Not since I've been riding, at least. Florida, South Carolina, Kentucky, Ohio. There's several states that don't have helmet laws. And I'm just, you know, it's – I know a lot of people, they cross the Florida line. That's the first thing they do. They'll pull over and take their helmet off. And I'm just not – I'm not that
– Oh, I would
– I don't get into – you know, I don't get twisted about it.
Well, that's what surprises me, that knowing that where do you advocate? I mean, if you think that people should wear it, I'm not saying that there should be a law, but, you know, if you know it's going to save a life and this is some new person, trying to learn to ride a motorcycle,
mm-hmm.
where do you instill the need and the necessity for a helmet to save a life?
Well, I think
there being a law.
Everybody that's going to get their endorsement or that wants to learn to ride a bike, they need to take a safety class. I believe in that. And I think that is, like with anything else, you know, they need to educate the folks about the pros and educate them on both sides of the issue. And I don't have a problem with a well-educated adult making their own decision. Children, you know, I would never let my son rides with me. My daughter rides with me. My grandson wants to ride with me. But he's four, you know. But I would never let them get on the bike without a helmet.
Most of your wrecks are middle-aged guys that haven't been on a bike like that. Reach their 40-year-old status, they go out and buy a big bike, never been on it before.
Yeah.
And that's the ones that has most of the wrecks.
Yeah.
They never start on a small bike and work their way up.
You know, I rode to Florida when I was 19 on a bike. It was a little Kawasaki 450 and went down there and just started dating my wife. Got to missing her. Spent one night in Panama City and came back home and it rained the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
I prayed. I was like, "Lord, help me get home. I'll never do that again." It was miserable.
My wife had never ridden with me a lot. The first time she did any kind of distance with me, we were riding from Knoxville to Maggie Valley, North Carolina, and as soon as we got on the Blue Ridge Parkway, the bottom fell out like hail. You know, it was hailing, and there just wasn't any place to no kind of cover to pull over and get out of it.
Mm-mm. Let's take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we'll wrap up the show, and we'll get down and dirty here for about 2 or 3 minutes about Rolling Thunder and what they do and where we can see them out here in the community when we return here to the North Rutherford Y. You're listening to Rutherford Issues on WGNS.
Hi, this is Wade Hayes, owner of Toots Restaurant, inviting you to visit one of our three locations here in Rutherford County. We have some delicious salads, and also one of our most popular menu items is grilled chicken on a stick. Two or three skewers, your choice, grilled fresh chicken, marinated overnight, and it's even served with broccoli if you like. At Toots, we're very proud of our menu and our menu prices and our daily specials. You can bring the whole family in and eat very reasonably at any of our three locations here in Rutherford County.
Good food and fun!
This is Sheila from Ryan Flowers and Gifts. We've been here in Murfreesboro for over 70 years. If you ever need anything for any particular occasion, please give us a call. We have items starting out at $35 for your funeral needs. We also have your tapestries, your angels, churches, books of love for anything that you may need for that special loved one who has passed on. Ryan's Flowers and Gifts is located at 117 South Academy Street. Our phone number, 615-893-7134.
This is Rich Schmidt with more warm weather savings from Haynes True Value Hardware. Stop weeds from overtaking your lawn with Ortho Weed Be Gone Ready-to-Use Weed Killer for Southern Lawns from Haynes True Value Hardware. A gallon container is only $6.99 after a $6 mailing rebate while supplies last. It kills major broadleaf weeds right down to the root, and it's rainproof in an hour. A comfort wand with continuous spray applicator makes it easy to use. A gallon container is only $6.99 after a $6 mailing rebate while supplies last. Haines True Value Hardware on Memorial behind Reeve Sane Drugstore.
Get your travel immunizations at Reeve Sane. Whether you're traveling to deliver medicine or to serve in a mission, the most important thing is that you're healthy enough to do it. This is Lori St. Smith at Reeve Sane. Make Reeve Sane your first travel destination. Contact us today at 278-3158 to schedule individual and group immunizations. You may also view a range of our immunizations at ReeveSane.com. Immunizations are available Monday through Friday at 1801 Memorial Boulevard inside Reeve Sane Drugstore.
The Jesse C. Beasley Animal Humane Foundation, a 501c3 since 1980, is having the event Paws and Pearls on May 23rd from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the historic Beasley Owen Rowland House. Come dine and dance under the stars to the music of the Eclectics while supporting the programs of the Beasley Foundation. For more information, look us up on Facebook or call 217-1030.
Around the world and here at home with the story on the ducks. Here is Kristen Demas.
Quackatuck has announced that the ducks have taken on a new challenge at the Murfreesboro Sportscom Outdoor Pool. So join us to witness duck race history on May 18th at the Murfreesboro Sportscom and participate in the 2013 Sudsy Child Advocacy Center Rubber Duck Derby. For a chance to win $5,000, adopt your ducks online at burrowduckderby.com.
This is Rutherford Issues, hitting right at what matters most to all of us here in the heart of Tennessee.
And we welcome you back to the North Rutherford Y as we wrap up here. Got about 3 minutes or so, and Mike, you never know in conversation where we're going to wind up going. And we do want to talk about Rolling Thunder and some events, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do.
I'll let you kind of take charge here.
Oh, go ahead, Jay. Let us know a little bit about what y'all do.
I would like to, start off a couple of things I'd like to point out that Mike had and Brett made the issue about that Mike didn't look like he'd be the biker type. You don't have to be, you don't have to be a biker to join Rolling Thunder. We are not a motorcycle club. We are a veterans' rights, and the POWMIA issue is what is our main focus. And that's when Rolling Thunder was first started. It was to educate the public about the POWMIA issue, to let the public know that our government has left people behind in every war that they fought this century, well, in the previous century, in the 20th mm-hmm. century, and now, even now with the ongoing conflict in Iraq and Afghanistan. And the big misconception even that I had when I first heard about Rolling Thunder was, one, you had to ride a bike, two, you have to be a veteran, and neither one of those are true. As long as you have the POWMIA issue in your heart and you're dedicated to the cause,
that's all you need.
You're welcome in our organization, and we have a lot of folks that don't ride, that drive, and even more that aren't veterans.
So Dewey, you got some events you wanted to mention before we lose all of our time here?
Rolling Thunder's got the car and bike show at the VFW on the National Highway, 11 o'clock Saturday. The Rolling Thunder trailer will be there.
That's this Saturday?
This Saturday, okay. 11 o'clock. They'll have the membership. Cross and them will be out there. Just approach them and ask them for the new pamphlets. It explains a lot about what we do. We do the funerals. The one thing we did do here recently was we finally brought a man back. Instead of putting him in a hole in the ground, we brought him back to his home.
Yeah.
In Nolensville, Tennessee. A specialist, Andrew Wilson. He had stepped on an IED and had both legs removed.
Yeah.
It's different.
And that's working with the Homes for Our Troops organization. They build homes
at
all
no
across
cost.
The country at no cost to the veteran, for injured veteran, their handicap accessible type homes. And we were fortunate to take part in that, where we were welcoming a young man home.
If somebody wants to get involved in y'all's group, how do they contact y'all?
We have our website, www.rollingthundertn1.com. We have a calendar of events. All the upcoming events will be taken
Facebook,
part in.
You on Facebook?
I have a Facebook page. We don't have a Facebook page for the organization, National we can't.
But they can find you, Jay Barnes, on
They can Facebook. Find me on, I'm on Facebook, yes, okay. Medic okay. Jay on okay. Facebook.
All right.
And also my contact information is listed on our website for the chapter website, and we have upcoming events that we'll be doing. There's contact information for me.
Okay.
All right. And
well, I think you had something you want to mention real quick.
Smyrna High. The Smyrna High Memorial I'm working on. I've got everything's approved. I've got to take a blueprint, need to come up with what we need to say on it. And I wanted it, it's something to you walk up to it and you see it with no names, no date, and it would be for you. It's for all fallen classmates, non-military and military. Okay. We're going to have me and Mike.
They can find you on Facebook. Kind of do
they can get me on Facebook. They can call my cell phone number. It's, all my information is on there.
Very okay. good. Mike, right. appreciate it. Thank Dewey you. Hunter, Jay Barnes joining us here from the North Rutherford Y. Thanks for being here with us on WGNS Talk Radio. So long, everyone.